You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Don't divert your attention, Kane. I want you to explain to me, why are you holding Serbia hostage?
I don't know. I think Serbia should just give Australia a break and just, you know, forget about it. I would love to learn more about it. And you being a bigger tennis watcher than I am, I was wondering if you could give some insights into this. The only thing I could say is that they're very strict, but I didn't know the Australian Open or the ATP had such a strict guidelines for vaccinations.
Well, they don't, and that is the issue.
Oh, is that just an Australian thing?
Novak's obviously a famous anti-vaxxer and also tennis star, did receive the proper documentation and the visa to play at the Australian Open, which is one of the four Grand Slams. One of the four major tennis tournaments in the world. And so he arrived in Australia, but then because of all the hubbub around the fact that we're letting this non-vaccinated person player into the country while everyone else is fighting the Omicron, they basically revoked his visa at the airport after he's arrived.
And he got detained.
And then he got put into a hotel with, you know, where they keep illegal immigrants, I guess. I'm not sure if you read any of the statements from his family, but or from his country, Serbia. Then went bananas. His dad was saying, was comparing Novak to Jesus. And how by detaining Novak, it's a crime against humanity, basically.
Well, where do you stand on this? What's your opinion? Do you believe he should play in Australia?
Definitely not. My opinion is I detest Novak.
Right.
But saying that, I think he's been wrong in this instance. Now, I wanted Tennis Australia just to come out straight and say, look, you don't got the vaccine, you can't play. Unfortunately, they didn't have the balls to do that. They let him in. And now the federal government stepped in and fucked over Tennis Australia. And now everyone's exposed. So really what I think is, I don't blame Novak. This is exactly what he was going to do. He was going to come up with excuses to get into the country by either getting COVID or, you know, paying some quack doctor in Serbia.
But how do you get an exemption? How do you get, that sounds like a reason to get vaccinated. Like, how do you get exemption because you got COVID? I don't understand that logic.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, it goes beyond just getting the exemption. If you read the actual rules, if you had COVID within the last 6 months, you are basically treated as if you were, as if you are double vaccinated. That means you have the equal rights as the vaccinated. It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
By going down that path, and then why should anyone get vaccinated? Everyone should just get COVID and then therefore get free pass. You know, why do we have to lock in? Lock down, like stay indoors.
This is the ATP rule?
I think this is like the ATP rule. This is the ATP rule, I believe.
Okay.
Which is the Australian Tennis Players Association. I don't know what it is, but they basically fumbled the bag, okay? They were... They were under immense pressure, quote unquote, immense pressure to include Novak because he's one of the, you know, the leading tennis players. But really, they fumbled the bag. And as a result, they fucked over Novak's. And I'm no fan of Novak's. But at the same time, if you've got the clearance, if you got the visa, you should be basically allowed in, right?
I guess from an Australian angle, there's a bit of bad publicity because it's like Melbourne is commonly known as one of the most lockdown cities, or Victoria is one of the most lockdown states in the world. They've had like one of the longest lockdowns in the world. And for someone, anyone with that, you know, to come with their privilege, with their, you know, sticking their nose up at vaccination, sticking up like up the nose against everything that Australia is striving for. Like, we're so proud that we have like over 95%, over 90% vaccinate, double vax. And for him to come into this country and, you know, get the praise or the adornment of playing tennis, it doesn't really stack up with what Australia is trying to achieve in terms of fighting the coronavirus. So I can see that from that angle why they're so, stubborn to stop him. I mean, I've never really heard like it because like tennis is such an international game, but it involves even more traveling. So I can understand these rules can be quite vague country to country and government to government. You don't want to like ruffle any feathers just for sport, but I can see how like it can get quite hairy. I don't really feel sympathetic for him. Like, I think the funny thing for Novak, like just to switch their like the just to pivot the point here, like Novak to me has never really been that celebrated as a tennis player. Like even in Australian Open where he's dominated, I believe like at least I the last 10 years he's probably won like 8 of them, whatever. He's
his most successful tournament.
Yeah, right. But like the most celebrated player, at least in my generation, is Federer. And even when Federer comes second, like people cheer for him. Like people love Federer a lot, and people like Nadal too, because I think they've come to accept that he's just that good and probably better than Federer in a lot of ways. But I think the people's champion is Federer, and Novak, he just always seemed I got some theories, but he's just always played the villain. And I kind of respect that he's played the villain so well, because in a time where Nadal and Federer are considered two of the greatest of all time, he's gone and, in his prime versus those two in their prime and won more Grand Slams than they have, I think. I think he's one away from getting the most of all time, which is an amazing achievement considering he had to go up against Federer and Nadal in the prime.
But seriously, he is basically like Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving goes on about master computers and a bunch of other mumbo jumbo. Yeah. And this is
no vaccination,
flat earth, et cetera, et cetera. And Novak is exactly like that. Okay. Novak, he talks about magical water, magical light bulbs, and special water that contains, like, I don't know, fairy DNA.
Yeah. I mean, like Aaron Rodgers, like the MVP of the NFL, also believes in homeopathy and that kind of like voodoo stuff.
I'm not familiar with how deeply Aaron Rodgers is into homeopathy or whatever that quack science is. But Novak, he's deep in
quack
it.
Science,
he's deep in it.
I mean, there might be something to it. Like, you consider the best player in tennis, believes in that the best player in NFL and the best player in the NBA all kind of have similar links of, like, this controversial beliefs and stuff like that. Like, they're all the best in their respective sports, right?
I feel like we've touched on this before. It's almost like you're so gifted in this one thing that it's overtaken like your brain power and your like processing mental capacity in all other areas, or it's sort of like mutated.
It's just like you're so gifted that you think that like you think this is because you're so gifted that like anything you do can't be wrong because your DNA is just so special. That like if you do stupid shit like eat dog shit from the ground and you think it has like natural healing powers, you think it is like because your immune system is so good that you think like that's the gift, that's the secret to your gifts. But really, like if any normal human person attempts to do your regimen and your crazy holistic medicines, they'll probably die or get really sick from it because we're not like you. Like these like elite athletic human bodies at the, in the prime as well. Like no normal human should attempt what they're doing, to be honest.
I guess we don't know like how prevalent this is. Maybe there's tons of athletes that are wackos like this, but simply they're not good enough to be, or not vocal enough to enter our radar. Whereas the three examples, Kyrie, Aaron Rodgers, and Novak, at least two of those players are top of their game.
Well, all three of them are the best, very best.
I might give you that. I might say that Kyrie has some insane technical talents on the court. Yeah, I give you that.
I guess it's just, I think it's like also at that level, you like sometimes you just have to find whatever you can to get that edge over other players. Mm. Like at that level, it's not because you work harder or you're, that much better or, like it's, there's levels between each of those players are so fine that you just do whatever you can to get that little bit of edge over your opponents. Especially in tennis, like tennis is the ultimate getting the edge of your opponent, because this is, you know, one-on-one, you know, one person versus another person. That edge is all, like, sometimes that edge, that mental razor thin, like, you know, wit is all that stands between you and your opponent. And you can't just beat them just because you have a better strategy or you have a better forehand or you have a better, like, it doesn't, like, you can't just beat someone because you just have a better serve. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Apparently you need a better light bulb. That's the edges you're missing. But anyway, we've talked enough about this. We'll see what happens with Novak. I hope they send his ass back home to Europe.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Like, how can you defy a government? Because you're trying to come into... That's what I'm saying. Like, Serbia should stay out of it because Serbia has nothing to do with this issue. It's between Djokovic's people... the ATP, obviously, and the Australian government, because right now they're trying to come to Australia. Of course, the government's going to intervene. What does Serbia have to do?
They're helping Jesus.
Like, what does Serbia have? Like, Serbia has Novak Djokovic and has Nikola Jokic.
Jokic, obviously, way more talented than Novak. He's had a falling out with Serbia because he didn't participate in the Tokyo Olympics. So he's not actually that popular right now, apparently. Within his hometown, he's still a hero. But within Serbia, people have kind of are feeling a little different about him. But Novak is beloved.
How many people in Serbia? Like, what is this like country? Like 10 million people or something? Like, they can't be that picky about the famous athletes.
Apparently they are. They're very passionate. They're crazy.
This isn't like Turkey. Turkey is like a, you know, population of over 20 million, I'm guessing. Serbia must have a population of... Yes, Serbia has a population of 6.9 million. They produce two world-class athletes, and they're going to, like, shun one?
Yeah, apparently. Not just shun, like, angry. They're angry. They're hurt. But I'm not going to say anything about Serbia or Serbians, because from what I've read, just based on the outlash, the outcry over Novak and also Jokic, they seem pretty intense over there. I'm not going to say anything bad about Serbia or their fans. You do you, okay? You do you. Protect Jesus.
Okay.
Keep them away from the migrants. Jesus can't have that. By the way, I'm almost certain that Novak has place of residence like Monaco. I'm not even sure he lives in Serbia. All these tennis stars, they live in Monaco so that they don't have to pay tax. Oh, the other controversy thing with that is, so they released over the weekend the exact date that he got COVID, which was, I think, December 16th.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then the next day, he was like shaking hands
the next day
with people.
With like hugging, he was like hugging children maskless and
he
stuff
was like
that.
Licking people.
Yeah, I think that's why the government lost a bid to delay the court hearings or something. Because they wanted to, I think they wanted to delay it till after the Aussie Open, I assume.
But anyway, we did touch on another thing. Kyrie Irving came.
I did like how we talked about that and like intertwined NBA content in there. It always goes back to NBA, right? We always find a way to bring back the NBA.
I'm going to give you the floor. And I want you to explain to our listeners your thought process this week. Because for a bit of context, you've been extremely frustrated with your beloved Nets over the past few months. And to the point where you said to me, on record, in our messages, you said, fuck Kyrie. Fuck him.
Yeah.
You're done with him. You're done. He comes back for one game. Shoots like a fucking air ball, okay? Jacks up an air ball three. Eventually, the Nets wins the game. He texts me immediately saying, Kyrie is special. He said, Kyrie is special. He said, we need to dedicate an episode to Kyrie. Explain to your listeners, what happened?
Man, like, what's that saying? Like, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think with Kyrie away from the NBA, it just made me realize how special he is, how special of a talent he is. And you think these are things that, like, kids will, like, you know, like, I'm talking about, like, you know, rookies and stuff in the NBA, like, you know, young players in the NBA will learn. But it's not. Like, there's the little things that I noticed Kyrie do is just insane. And he doesn't rely on strength. He doesn't, like you said, he had an air ball. He doesn't have he's not the greatest shooter, but he gets it done. I think he's like a pretty good shooter, but he's not like elite, like Kevin Durant level, Steph Curry level, obviously. But he's just so smart. It's just like what everyone says like about him, that you don't quite understand if you just hear it in a vacuum. But if you just watch some of his plays and some of his magic, basically, he's just a basketball savant. He just knows how to move around with the basketball. He knows how to dribble around bigger players. He knows how to like push players out of his way without, you know, drawing offensive foul, kind of thing like that. I think he's just... I think he kind of plays like, I don't know. You step in. I'm just lost for words. It was just such a great win. And it just to contrast it, the next night they go against the COVID riddled Bucks, and then they get the Bucks smashed the Nets. It wasn't even close. I saw the line, like the betting line. It was like a -4.5, meaning the Nets had a -4.5 advantage over the Bucks, and the Bucks beat them by 20. Like, I think it was less than that at the end, because, you know, it was just relief time for other players. But they were up by 20, like, consistently over the Nets without Kyrie Irving. I don't have much hope for this team without Kyrie Irving. That's such a common, obvious statement. Like, oh, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant together are going to win the championship. Of course. But the problem is Kyrie Irving can only play away games, and because he's not vaccinated. But without Kyrie Irving, they're just no sure thing. And I actually think they have no chance to win. James Harden and Kevin Durant don't have any chance of beating any of the elite teams in the East in a 7-game series in the playoffs. Like, I just have no confidence that those two can get it done. But with Kyrie, with a third superstar, yes, they can get it done. But I don't know if Kyrie playing... just in every away game is going to be enough. It's either they change the laws because they know that vaccinations aren't like the only thing to get you out of the, I don't know, as like, because vaccinated people are getting coronavirus as well, so maybe they change the laws in America, or I don't know, he finally decides to get vaccinated, which I don't believe that will ever happen. So I'm kind of more betting on the laws changing.
When you were watching Kyrie shaking and baking,
yeah,
spin zone,
yeah,
gently pushes off the defender, layup. What were you feeling inside?
Yeah. And this is why I was so excited. This is why, you know, since we first met in 2018 or whatever, I was saying, get me Kyrie on the Nets. The rest will figure itself out. Give me Kyrie. I know we got Kyrie. We got something special. I know he was unwanted goods, according to Celtics fans and Cavs fans. But I don't care, because Kyrie has something that other players don't. And it's aged well. Like, honestly, like, unfortunately, we live in a, you know, pandemic, so we can't have full Kyrie, unfortunately, because he's an anti-vaxxer. But I think I just always knew in my heart that Kyrie playing basketball is a special, special... watch.
You talked to Patch about this when Kyrie was scoring.
Why?
Don't pretend you don't verbalize this. I've seen you watch basketball, Kang.
Because I watch it with you. I watch it with you, so I'm verbalizing
whatever.
Thoughts to you, but please. When I'm watching by myself, I don't say things out loud.
You should record yourself. Like, seriously, I'm not joking. Believe me, people can tell. You watching basketball at work, believe me, this is no secret, okay? You're like fucking sitting there with a big ass grin on your face, pumping your fist. You told me when your Buccaneers are like winning or playing, you're pounding like the floor, okay?
Yeah, that was the Super Bowl.
Don't pretend you're like sitting there all cool.
I mean, that was a special moment. Kyrie, Harden, and Durant playing again. Together again. It was a special moment.
Joking aside, I did like what I saw from Kyrie. He did have that big air ball. If I'm honest with myself...
That's okay.
That's not an issue. Exactly. That's nothing. What I saw was someone that's surprisingly actually in shape.
Yeah.
And Kyrie, his game is based on a lot of his nimbleness, speed, agility, but also intelligence. And I kind of saw all that on display.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he missed a step. It doesn't seem like he missed
it. And obviously, this is not going to be the Kyrie, peak Kyrie right now. He's got to have to work his way back. But what I saw was like, whoa, this guy, yeah, he's pretty special. I give you that. Okay.
Let's see, because that was against like some serious bench warmers against the Pacers. And the Pacers had this huge lead as well before the Nets like started to crawl back. But they're versing Chicago in a couple of days, or maybe like in 5 days' time. They're versing Chicago in Chicago. So Kyrie will be available for that game. So that'll be another big three experience. So let's just see. I'll be watching that game very closely. The Nets against Nets at Chicago. The Nets have to win because they have not beaten an elite top four team at all this season. Even against the, I just talked about against the Bucks. The Bucks are third, the Nets are second, and the Bucks just blew them underwater. It was Kevin Durant and James Harden versus Giannis and Chris Middleton. And Chris Middleton was just smoking the Nets. What's his name?
Fucking Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis.
Had like 25 points or something.
Fucking rebounding the fucking shit out of the ball. Like, my God, like, no one could stop Claxton. Because Claxton couldn't do a thing against Bobby Portis. I don't know how old he is. I think he's not that old, but he's definitely like close to 30 or just over 30. But still, like, he shouldn't be like that amount of energy beating the Nets. Like, where's the Nets' energy? Anyway, so that's why I'm excited about the Kyrie coming back. I think he just gives them some optimism and some energy. And that's what we need. Like, sometimes in these moments and like in the struggles of the regular season, you got to find moments of optimism and energy. And Kyrie will bring that tenfold because he not only excites the players, he'll excite the fans. He'll excite like objective fans as well, like just guys tuning into the Nets and watching, like the Nets will feed off that energy, I believe. It's giving me energy.
I agree with you because I'll give you another example. The Lakers, they're terrible. I got excited when Trevor Ariza came back. Okay, Trevor Ariza is like a...
Oh, he's back?
38-year-old Trevor Ariza. But the point is to your point though, you just need something to change things up. When you're in a funk, you just need something, some hope, some change in the dynamic to re-energize that team that's feeling a bit stale, that's feeling like a bit down. So I think we'll see what happens with the Bulls. But I do think it's a positive development.
I'm all in. I'm all in if they beat the Bulls.
Right. Okay.
I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in if they beat the Bulls. If they beat the Bulls. They got to treat that serious. That game's got to be 100%.
I don't really need them to beat the Bulls, but at the same time, they've been playing so crap that obviously that'd be a great win. That'd be an excellent win. But certainly, that's an exciting game. I'm going to tune into that game. Which got me thinking. James Harden is also a player that I was used to seeing kind of just through creativity or sometimes brute force, just somehow get to the basket, score. And the James Harden that we've been seeing this season now, I've not seen that. And earlier in the season, people talked about his injury. People talked about the rule change. But guess what? We're like fucking halfway through the season now, okay? He's back from injury. I mean, this hamstring doesn't take, well, whatever injury he had, it doesn't take like 8 months.
Well, he's been, yeah.
It doesn't take 8 months to recover, right? Is he in the best shape of his life? Probably not, but at the same time, he's not in terrible shape. So my question to you is, like, what happened with James Harden here? In my head, I can't reconcile the James Harden that I know from 2 years ago, who's a threat to explode for 50 points on any given night, to the James Harden now, who's talking to the media and saying things like, I'm still working it out. I'm not sure when I need to be a scorer, when I need to be a facilitator or a passer. That's just an excuse to me. That's not the actual reason. I don't think he's confused. I think he's lost something, but I'm not really sure exactly why he's lost that.
I put the most blame on James. I mean, to be fair, I guess I put the most blame on Kyrie because this whole team changes with Kyrie on board and the dynamic of like resting the play. Because James Harden and Kevin Durant playing heavy minutes. I think Kevin Durant compared to Warriors days, or even like, you know, maybe even considered last year, he's shooting like almost like 10% less field goal percentage. And he's still shooting like about 50%. But this guy was shooting like close to 60%, you know, before. Mm. Like, it's an insane mark. He's still really high. But the reason I think the dip is because he's taking extra shots. He's taking, you know, shots that, you know, might not necessarily be the best looks, but for Kevin Durant, that's as, you know, sometimes as open as you get it. So you, like, that's, you know, a 50-50 chance that you might as well take it sometime. Well, a lot of times. So Kevin Durant's going to take a lot of shots, but just sometimes those shots aren't great. And the reason why is because James Harden is not shooting well. He is forcing his way to the basket and wasting a lot of energy and sometimes fouling or just losing the ball or becoming too predictable with his offense. He has like two moves. One is like barreling his way into the paint, just taking on any prisoners that like get in his way. And you're stepping to the basket, or B, like...
I think we had a commercial about that. Yeah. Get those insurance.
Get that insurance. We got to get some more commercials. And B, like doing a pick and roll, like getting that pick and roll and then just like doing a bounce pass into the chest or stomach of his teammate. Or sometimes the other team, because it becomes so predictable, that pick and roll. Where the other team just steals it and goes on a fast break. And you see Harden doesn't go back on defense. He just throws his arms in there like, that was a foul. Like, I don't know, like when the foul happened, but he just always complains like, oh, it's a foul. Like, well, refs are blind or some shit. Like, I don't agree with it because sometimes I'm like, you gotta play until you hear the whistle. You can't just, like, it's just basketball 101 sometimes. Like, I know, like, you're used to getting those foul calls for whatever reason. It's not happening now. You know, refs aren't always consistent, but look at the other team. They're not like, you see some, like against the Bucks, I know I've talked about this three times now, but the Bucks are just always running, always looking for the best shot from whichever player, it doesn't matter. Like, you think Giannis is going to get a good shot? No, of course not, because Giannis can't shoot. But they're always moving the ball around. It doesn't matter who has the ball in hand because they've kind of like taught the offense like to kind of get into the open man to move around. But with the Nets, it's like, get to Kevin Durant, get to James Harden, and then ISO, get everyone else the fuck out of the way and let these guys do the work. And against with Kyrie, it's the same thing. Like, it's not a very imaginative, not a very creative offense, but it works with three superstars. I don't think it works with James Harden and Kevin Durant only because defense is just like, I don't know, I can keep going on in this. I think James Harden needs to play better, but like you said, like, I can't really reconcile Houston James Harden and Nets James Harden because I think he's still an all-star. I think he's definitely close to being an all-star starter in the East, but man, before he was like, Houston James Harden was perennial MVP, like one of like an amazing, like just like on the same, almost on the same level as Steph Curry level of talent, kind of thing like that. If not, like, probably just as good as Steph Curry talent. But now it's... I don't see James Harden anyway, like...
Now it's like Russell
near
Westbrook.
That level anymore. Well, no, yeah, much better. But yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, that kind of drop is kind of equivalent to, like, Russell Westbrook's first drop from his MVP to then becoming an All-Star. That was Russell Westbrook's first drop. James Harden is now having that drop, and I hope it's not going to keep happening. Like, you know, Russell Westbrook continues to get worse and worse every year. But James Harden has had this first big drop. Because last year it was amazing for the Nets. Like, when he first came to Nets, he was fucking amazing. I can't explain it, but something is... James Harden will unlock this offense, but he's been good. I'll be honest, like, a lot of the media concentrates on him being bad. I don't think that's true. I think they're concentrating on the fact that we're not seeing MVP Houston Harden anymore, which is fair. But he's not bad. He's definitely not bad. But he is not good enough to lead this team to like a title. And I don't think Durant is playing hard enough right now. Like, he's not playing as good defense as he was earlier this year. I think even the coaching staff, I bet they're like saying like, okay, Durant, like, just take it easy. Like, it doesn't matter if we finish with the fourth seed. Like, just, you know, we don't need you to play 45 minutes a night. Just chill. Like, you know, we'll work it out. Like, I think that's sort of the message to Durant. Because
that's what Nash said, right? He's like, just chill. I don't have this many plays anyways. Just calm down, KD. I'm not really sure what. I don't know what to call Katie. What? Come over here. Let me give you a hug.
Yeah. Do you need a hug, Katie?
I need a hug, Katie. I don't know. I've got no place anymore.
I mean, yeah. I don't think he can ever recapture his Houston form. So I don't know if funk is the right phrase.
It's not a matter of creativity, though, because you mentioned that he had now he has two moves. It's not like on Houston he has a toolkit of all these moves. He has one move.
Oh, but he was shooting. He was the difference is he could shoot.
They're trying to guard him from the side, from behind, because they couldn't guard him, right? Well, they couldn't stop him. I mean, they knew it was going to go to James Harden. They know that he's going to do a step back. They know he's going to shoot the three, but you can't stop it.
Now he's missing wide open. Now he's missing wide open shots and stuff. He's like a 40% 3-point shooter, like less than sub 40%.
I've got no explanation, and no one's been able to really explain it. I've heard people talk about the age thing. Maybe that's true, but we don't know. If it's an age thing, then we need more time for us to see. But the other possible thing, or possible reason, is coaching. Now, we know James Harden on Houston, they had D'Antoni. D'Antoni makes anybody look good on offense.
Yeah, D'Antoni last year as well. They had D'Antoni last year as well.
And we know from D'Antoni, he's going to extract maximum impact on offense. Is this possibly Steve Nash basically exposing himself a bit? And, I'm a huge Steve Nash fan.
Yeah, I'm not.
I said when they got Steve Nash, it was checkmate. But that was with the context that they had D'Antoni. And then you add Steve Nash.
Yeah.
That's dream team. But now with just Steve Nash, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure if he's got actual X and O's other than just being a rah-rah locker room guy.
Yeah. I think he's a good locker room coach, but Tyronn Lue. But Tyronn Lue is excellent from our timeouts. Tyronn Lue is amazing. He always draws up amazing. He's not I don't think scheme-wise Tyronn Lue is amazing. I think he's always had great assistant coaches like Chauncey Billups and other guys who maybe help out offense and defense. I can't remember. Tyronn Lue has had some amazing assistant coaches. And Steve Nash had two amazing assistant coaches last year. And Ime Udoka is now the Boston Celtics head coach. He had more defensive assistant coach. And then Mike D'Antoni, who was the offensive assistant coach. So amazing, amazing assistant coaches. And I don't believe he had schemes. I don't believe he ran any schemes. He didn't. It's a common complaint from Nets, the Nets fans, where Steve Nash out of timeouts. First of all, he's terrible at calling timeouts. He's terrible at when to call timeouts. And secondly, he the plays out of timeouts are always so vanilla. It's no difference than just James Harden calling it in the flow of the game. Apart from the locker room and kind of having that calm and building that chemistry, which is important because we've seen what other player coaches have done and what other bad player coaches have not done for the team. Not everyone's Eric Spoelstra, right? You can't have the scheme and the player coach chemistry. Not everyone's Eric Spoelstra or Greg Popovich, but you kind of need a little bit of something. And I think maybe Steve Nash is excellent player coach, but he's horrible, X's and O's. I never see any inventive play calling out of timeouts. It's just, I don't know. It's just James Harden or Kevin Durant kind of getting the ISO or something.
I think you might need to bring someone on board to supplement that.
Well, it's a bit late. It's a bit late this season. Kenny. Give me Kenny.
He's on the Warriors. I heard. Was he on the Warriors now?
He's on the Warriors. Yeah, he's a Warriors, assistant coach.
If he wins a championship with the Warriors.
He deserves it. I always like Kenny.
Kenny's good.
I don't know why the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving just didn't see Kenny Atkinson in the same way.
I think it was more Kyrie. The story is that Kenny asked him to do some basic drills and Kyrie said that's not a real coach. And then Kyrie said, anyone can coach. He said, on some nights, he'll be coach. But that's what he said. Good on you. I mean, good on you.
I can't argue with the results so far. The results have been good so far.
No, if you need a hug, just go to Steve Nash. He'll hug you.
Steve Nash specializes in hugs. He's A+ in hugs.
Oh, okay. Let's get off the Nets. Let's talk about Raptors. I have not really followed them this season. Now, Scotty Barnes has been an excellent...
Scotty Barnes. Yeah, he's a real deal.
The thing with the Raptors is, of course, talk that Siakam might be possible to move Siakam potentially for a Ben Simmons. That's sort of what I'm hoping for. Because obviously the Raptors need a star there. Otherwise, I mean, the Raptors are a team that you don't want to really face in the playoffs because you're going to have to squeeze out like 4 hard wins from the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah. Team has dealt with so much COVID-related issues, so it's not a fair read on this team. But, you know, recent games where they've had like the full roster, they've knocked off 5 in a row. And Fred VanVleet's scoring over 20 points a game. I think given, you know, you like in the East... you're probably going to have to choose between like a LaMelo Ball or Fred VanVleet for that like the last reserve role for the Eastern All-Star game. It might go to VanVleet because he's a veteran and he deserves to finally go in. I don't think he's ever had an All-Star before, and he's like sub 6 foot, and he's playing really well. He's leading this team to above 500 record. And usually if you have an above 500 record, you should. I mean, I think LaMelo Ball will go in, and Fred VanVleet will probably be like the reserve, like the, what do you call it? Like the next man up kind of thing like that.
Yeah, take Harden's spot.
No, Harden's definitely getting in for sure. I guarantee. Starter. But I think, no, not a starter. It will definitely be DeRozan and who's the other guy I'm thinking of?
LaVine.
It'll be Durant, Embiid, Giannis, no, DeRozan... and
Middleton. Bam.
No, it could be Harden actually, now I think about it. Harden could be a starter. I can't think of another guard. Well, who's the other guard in the East?
Tatum.
Let me look at the standings first. No way. There's no way. I mean, he'll be an all-star, but
you're saying Tatum can't be a starter?
He won't be the starter over Durant, Embiid, or he's a forward.
Okay.
So there's no way he will start over Durant, Embiid, or Giannis.
Right.
Maybe it's Harden. I don't know. I don't know who's a better guard right now than DeRozan. DeRozan, Harden. I don't know who's a better guard, actually. Butler? Nah.
Butler. He's a guard. Yeah, Butler. Anyway. He could be Butler.
I don't know if he's playing better. I don't know if he's actually playing better than Harden is. He's played less games. He's been injured. They don't have as good of a record. I like the Raptors. All I'm saying is I think the Raptors deserve... I think they're not going to compete against the elite teams, obviously, like in the playoffs, but I think they have such a good nucleus with like at least tradable assets in Siakam or Anunoby, and Scottie Barnes could be tradable as well if they could get a superstar player. I mean, VanVleet could be traded as well. I don't think anyone would take him, but like he's so valuable as like a shooter and just a like energy guy, and he's also a really gifted scorer. So I think this team has your hometown team has a lot of potential still.
I'm gonna have to agree with that.
Can't get rid of them.
No. You're not gonna get rid of Raptors. And my hope is that they can. I'm not going to say Dame. I don't think Dame wants to go to Toronto.
Yeah. It's hard to get someone to go to Toronto willingly.
But Ben Simmons, who's not American anyway.
I like that.
I'm not a huge Ben Simmons fan. I'm always low on Ben Simmons.
He would fit. But they need shooters. That's the thing. Like, there's so many wings on this team. Like, Ben Simmons is another wing. That's why I like Harden. Harden can shoot and he can assist and he can get these big wings, like, you know.
I don't think Harden is like available. That's the thing. Like,
I agree. Yeah, true. Yeah, it's no point.
Okay, Kane, we're coming on time. It's been relatively quiet week, I'd say. I feel like a lot of our conversation is always centered around the Nets.
You're the one that always brings it back to Nets convo. I kind of want to steer away, but for some reason, you just love tormenting me.
In all seriousness, I mean, it's hard not to talk about Nets when they have what we thought was three like all-time superstars.
Yeah, they have a lot of drama, for sure, yeah.
Don't worry, dear listeners. Tune in next time. We'll be talking about the Pelicans and Zion again.
Well, I mean, Ja, man. Like, I think I've, like, my, I was, I nailed that prediction.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
how good Ja was going to be. I mean, talk about the Bucks. I was talking about the Bucks. Ja Morant fucking murdered the Nets single-handedly.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Did you see that he did like a posted dunk over James Johnson?
The one thing I'm a little bit worried about Ja is that I think he plays too aggressive or too hard. It looks like he's like flying every time.
I can see that. He is flying all the time. I am a bit worried that... I mean, Dame did that a lot when he was young, and he developed okay. But there's so many cases where you see these high flyers get a knee injury.
Derrick Rose.
And then that's like the end of their career. Like, not end of the career, but that's the end of the superstardom. They're no longer like a superstar.
Before we go, Kane, injustice, colonialism, hypocrisy, anything else you want to talk about your dear country, Australia?
No, that covers it.
That covers it.
I think we're a land built by convicts. We have no shame.
The irony of built by a land of convicts keeping all the migrants out now.
I mean, my ancestry, my background is also being oppressed. Oh.
You calm down, okay? Well, you calm down, Annis. Well, now that Annis has changed his last name, maybe you can change your last name to Cantor.
Freedom.
You can take his last name, okay? You were in Turkey, weren't you? Yeah,
they were very oppressed.
Yeah, whatever.
Chained up at night. Nighttime.
Okay, that's a joke.
The wars.
Fool me once.
It was curfew.
Shame.
It was curfew time, and it's like, okay, you know the law. You know how it is in Turkey.
Stay safe. Enjoy the basketball. Get your boosters. Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.